I'd like for us this morning to look in the book of Jonah. I'd like for us to think about obedience this morning. How important it is to obey. In our reading this morning, our brother mentions, children, obey your parents. Perhaps there's someone that you'd like to venture what your concept of obedience really is. Do you have a definition for obedience? Anybody? No one has a definition for obedience. I see I'm in trouble already. You've been reading the same book I read. Because that's exactly the definition that I'd like for us to think about. Obedience, submission to authority. And you know, that's a real problem today, getting people to obey authority. There's good authority and there's bad authority. Certainly when we come to the Word of God, you can trust what God has to say to us. And what he instructs us to do, if you want to be a happy believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, learn to obey what God asks you to do. What we have before us is a man that certainly knew better. He knew better. Some people have taken this book of Jonah because of the one thing that most frequently you have touched upon, and that is a whale swallowing a man. Incidentally, it doesn't say whale. It says a great fish, but the boys and girls in the Sunday school classrooms, they have a vivid reminder of what the teacher told them about a whale swallowing a man, Jonah. And so frequently, I think perhaps some of the things that need to be stressed and the thing that is so important perhaps is not even mentioned. Some people call Jonah, this is just a fairy tale. It's an old myth passed down from generation to generation. I believe there was a man by the name of Jonah. I believe he was a prophet of God. I believe that God gave him clear instructions on what he wanted him to do. And I believe that he willfully, with intent, disobeyed and paid a high price for his disobedience. I'm not going to get into the fourth chapter because I still don't understand this fellow Jonah. I'm not so sure that most of us that read it would be satisfied with the way that he responded to the authority of God dealing with this matter. Let's read the first chapter of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let us just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence this morning, and we read from thy holy word an account such as the one that we have just read. We've just opened this book and read the account of Jonah, your servant, a prophet of God, one that dared to question the authority of the Most High. Grant, we pray thee, O Lord, that we will learn from Jonah's disobedience that it's all important to obey what you have instructed us to do in the Word of God. Do receive our thanks. We ask your blessing. Committing to thee all of those that are not present with us here this morning that would love to be here. We think of our brother Les Dobie. We do remember to thee Florine Holloman, LaRue Saunders, and we think of Jack Wheeler. Lord, there's so many of your dear blood-bought children. And today will be another day of suffering, pain. They're being put through circumstances in life, Lord, that are not very pleasant. Grant that all that they suffer will be for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be merciful unto them, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. One other passage I'd like to read, and it's found in Matthew's Gospel. It's in the 28th chapter. And, of course, it's concerned with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the Great Commission, the sending forth of the disciples into the world. It says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded unto you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The reason I read that passage is because sometimes we tend to condemn others of things that we're guilty of ourselves. I do believe as a nation, the United States of America has done as much in seeking to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world and evangelize the world as any nation on the face of the earth. The money that has been spent, dedicated men and women that have gone out from our country and gone to faraway places to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That message, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes it. I do believe that we as a nation of people have certainly supported that effort, and we're in favor of it as believers. Sad to say, we're living in a day and time when there's been a departure from putting God first. It seems like that as we go on in time, if we're around long enough before the Lord comes, this will grow worse and worse. It will deepen. Someone has well said that you might as well cheer up because it's going to get worse. Not going to get any better. We've got more atheists, we've got more God-haters in the world today than we've ever had before. There's more people. Religion. Religion has been substituted for salvation. Religious ritual. All the things that go with the practice of a religion. Charismatic speakers are able to sway and keep people amused and satisfied. But they never tell the true story. They never give what the Word of God says about the problems of mankind, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. These things are omitted. The person of Christ is not exalted. His life was a tragedy. It just happened. And they admire him, but they do not recognize him as God. You know, so much hinges upon who he really is. And people don't know that. They still don't know that. There are so many people today that are just completely wrapped up in religion that still do not know who he is. He had to even emphasize this in dealing with his own. Thank God he got the right answer from Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God, manifest in flesh. Our Lord was quick to respond, and I said, and he could say to Peter and the others, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you. That took a spiritual enlightenment from heaven. And people get born again into the family of God, and they receive the power of God in the Spirit of God, and there's discernment. And that first discernment is that light that comes from heaven, who he is. He is God manifest in flesh. For if thou shalt confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and when you spell out that word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, he is Lord, he is God. believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We need to receive that message. We need to obey that message and receive him as God's provision for the salvation of our souls. I can tell you this, that he and he alone is the only person that has ever walked the face of the earth that was completely submissive to divine authority. If anybody wants to put up your hand and say, yeah, me too, I would know that you didn't know what you were talking about. Most of us, honestly, in the depths of our souls, said, yes, I have disobeyed God so many times. Grieves my heart to think about it. I sometimes get on my face before God and I cry out, oh, God, have mercy upon me. I have disobeyed what you've instructed me to do. James put it this way, if you know to do right and you do wrong, to you it is a sin. Do you know how casually people take sin today? Nothing to laugh about, but we smile. People don't know the seriousness of sin anymore. Jonah, wake up, man. You've disobeyed God, the source of all true wisdom. You have disobeyed the authority of God over your life. His will being done. Jonah, do you know, man? Do you know what you've done? I think he knew what he had done because he wanted to do something else. But I am persuaded in my own soul, any man, any woman, any boy or girl, any human being that has ever disobeyed the authority of God, it's like the Lord Jesus Christ said from the cross, looking down on those people, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. You know, many of us can reflect back upon childhood and think about how important it was to obey what mom and pop said do. Most often, our obedience was because we feared what we would get if we didn't. Thank God for the times that lovingly we did what mom or dad asked us to do, and we loved to please them. Do you find delight in your soul in being able to say, yes, I am doing the mind and the will of God, and I enjoy it? People think that you're miserable if you take this old book, the Bible, seriously, and the authority of God and what he has to say. They think you are living a miserable life if you are out and out for God and you want your life to count for God. Oh, you must be a miserable person. You're so straight-laced. How can you have any fun in life? Think of all the things in life that are so pleasurable. See, things that I see on television, it's a world of fantasy. People are overcome with a sense of I want to be amused, and sometimes the things that they're looking at, the things that they're entertaining in their hearts and mind is so silly. Foolishness. Foolishness. Things that you would only think that a person that was a fool would even be engaged in watching that or involved in that. And yet there are people that are very well educated. People have that have means to do almost anything they want to, and yet they're involved in things that are so contrary to the mind and the will of God. If we obey God, is one thing I can guarantee you. It not only brings pleasure to God for us to obey what he instructs us to do. He could have found great pleasure had Jonah submitted to that authority of God. God spoke to him, folks. God spoke to him and told him exactly what he wanted him to do. I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city. I want you to go there and deliver a message for me. You are my messenger. He went down and caught a boat going in the opposite direction. I said it, so I might as well say it again. I say, man, you're a fool. You're a fool. How foolish it is to disobey what God asks us to do. Something so clear, something so simple as to what God wanted him to do. Before we enter into any more that sounds like a condemnation of Jonah, and he's already condemned, let's look at you and me a little bit. When I read that passage there, that great commission, what our Lord requested of his disciples to do, you know, true discipleship involves a denial of self and taking up your cross daily and following him. Those that do that are in a minority in the world today, even among God's people, not taken very seriously. Denying self, brother, sister, you ever tried it? You ever tried denying self? You know you got a battle on your hand, don't you? You found out, didn't you? Self will not be denied without a fight. It will resist every overture to change that which is completely out of tune with the will and the mind of God. God wants his people to be a holy people. Be ye holy as I'm holy. And yes, every vestige of what is a part of this world that is so contrary to what God really is and what he stands for, it should be abandoned by his people. Do not be conformed to the ways of this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to get your mind right. You've got to let the Spirit of God control you. Have the mind of Christ, whose will was to do the will of him that sent him. The Lord Jesus Christ delighted to do the will of the Father who sent him. My dear fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to find some delight in our souls in obeying what God wants us to do. And cut out catering to the flesh and making excuses for disobedience. Submission to divine authority over my life. I am not my own. I was purchased with a price. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. I claim all of the things, the benefits of having received Christ as my Savior. I am a possessor of eternal life, spiritual life. All of my sins have been forgiven. All of my sins have been forgiven. You say all of those since you got saved? Oh, yes. Yes. He paid it all on the cross. Because all of my sins were in the future when he died for them. He died for all of my sin. You see, some people get relationship and fellowship all mixed up. I am related to God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternally. Eternally. Nothing can change that. I'm a child of God. My sins are forgiven. But I'll tell you something that many, many believers do not understand, and that's fellowship with God can be broken. So easily. The very minute you disobey, the very minute that you make place for sin in your life, fellowship with God is broken. The psalmist says something that's so profound. As long as I tolerate and make place for sin in my life, God will not hear me. Oh, beloved brother and sister in Christ, this morning, if you hear a presence in this room, and you know of sin that's in your life, You know what it is that it amounts to disobedience to divine authority. You're out of touch with God. You didn't lose your salvation, but you lost the joy of your salvation. You'll never be happy again until you confess it and forsake it. When you do that, it's like David of old. Restore unto me the joy of God's salvation. Be rejoicing in the Lord, because sin has been confessed, it's been forsaken. We hate the things that God hates, and He hates sin. Well, our Lord said to us, because when He spoke to those disciples, the message has been brought down to this morning in this chapel. I want you to go. I want you to go. Now, when we were thinking about Jonah, you say, how in the world could that man do that? God told him to go to Nineveh, preach a message, and deliver those people from experiencing the wrath and the judgment of God upon them. He says to you and me, go. I want you to go out into the world. I want you to carry the message of the gospel. I want you to make disciples of all men. I want you to teach them the things from the Word of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and reminding them that the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. We observe that time every Lord's Day morning here. If you haven't been coming and you're a believer, get right with God and come and have a blessed time around the table, worshiping and praising and remembering a Savior who went to a cross and died in open shame, a horrible death, made sin for you and me. Come and remember Him. He is the one that asked us, do this in remembrance of me. And a lot of God people won't do it. Some say you're doing it too often. Well, how often do you do it? Well, I did it about 3 or 4 years ago. Oh, you did. I think you can do it too often. Or you think you can do it too often. What about the testimony of someone that says, I've been doing it every first day of the week for over 50 years, and I still don't think it's often enough. Never has become something that I don't delight in taking part in, remembering Him. So the reason I say that is, right away, we're going to jump on Jonah with, you wretched man, look what you've done. You've disobeyed God. You've brought the lives of these other people on this ship into jeopardy. Everybody's going to perish because of your disobedience. These fellows said, cry out to your God. Have some mercy. Well, God had an answer to the thing. He sent not a whale, said He sent a great fish, spoke to the fish before He spoke again to Jonah. Had that great fish swallow Jonah. Swallowed him up good. How'd you like to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish? I'm telling you, it's dark down there. It's dark. And all them old gastric juices that can just absorb and just break down tissue and everything, that's where He was. He's down there. You hear a prayer being made in some places you wouldn't think prayer would be made, but it says Jonah began to pray. That's the way the second chapter opened up. says Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish his belly. You know, I believe God's getting his attention. I don't like this. Man, I never envisioned it would be this bad. Well, it was a storm. And I can just guarantee you, anybody that knows the will and the mind of God and refuses to obey it, you're facing a storm in your life. I know something else. Being in the belly of a fish may sound bad, but you'll be put through some things because God goes after his own. He can send adversity and trial into your life with a view to restoring you to himself. Don't you think you're going to get home free? He does chasten his own. God chastens those that he loves. And certainly he loves his children. I'm so thankful that I think the key verse is maybe in the third chapter and about the fifth verse. God had the old fish vomit Jonah up on the beach. Can you imagine what he looked like? All shriveled up. I imagine his flesh, he looked more like chalk than he did a man. But God got his attention and he went to Nineveh. At least he went to Nineveh. He got that part right. He finally got it right, but look what he went through. The reason I'm saying this is, what will God's people today go through just for fleeting moments of pleasure, failing to submit to divine authority and do what God asks you to do? I've been so ashamed many times in my life when I discovered that I wasn't doing what I clearly knew to be the will of God for my life. I felt a deep sense of shame. But I confessed it. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. Some of God's people don't act like that. He wants to forgive us. He is faithful and just. He will forgive you if you confess your sin. And you will have that recovery in your soul of the joy of the Lord and his great salvation. There's never been a revival breakout like the one that broke out in Nineveh. I think I wrote down some things. There's no recorded revival in the history of mankind that can rival this one that took place in Nineveh. This place had 1 million people. Thousands and thousands of children didn't know their right hand from their left hand. He preached the message, so the people of Nineveh believed his message, God's message for them. Repent, repent of your evil ways. They were notorious for being evil, cruel people, these Assyrians. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Let me jump down to the 10th verse. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God keeps his promise. He didn't destroy them. They got out of that mess. Jonah, if you go into the fourth chapter, you read it for yourself. I don't think he learned too much out of the whole experience. That's just my opinion. But you read it, and then you decide. I don't think he would ever repeat what had happened there again. At least I hope he wouldn't. But you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are told, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That man didn't have any sign of any forgiveness and tenderness and mercy in his heart. How can that be? It can't be. Not for a believer in the Lord Jesus. May God help us this morning. Obedience. Submission to divine authority over our lives. You read the Word of God, you know what you're reading, you understand it, obey it. Obey it! And the joy of this great salvation God has provided, it'll be yours. Our Father in heaven, do receive our thanks again for the time together this morning. And we praise Thee and thank Thee that You have in Your Word an account such as this with Jonah. And help any one of us this morning that right now is believers in the Lord Jesus. We're hiding sin in our hearts. These old deceitful hearts of ours, how deceitful they are. Help any believer in this meeting right now to say, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to confess my sin. And I'm going to forsake it. And I'm going to enjoy this great salvation that He has given to us. It's at great cost. I'm going to enjoy it to its fullest today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. John has a hymn.